Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Vochim Daf Kuf Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. At the top of Daf Kuf Tes, we find a Mishnah. Echod kotshim ksherim, v'echod pshorim kotshim psulim sheyapsulim b'kodesh, v'kriven b'chutz, chayov. Whether you're dealing with acceptable sacrifices or kotshim, sacrifices that became posel after they were brought into the Azorah. That's what's expressed by the term psulan bakodesh. And either one of these cases, if he's makriv them, if he offers them outside of the Beis HaMikdash, he is chayav. He's guilty of haloas chutz. Hamale kezayis min ho'oila u'mei eimureha bachutz chayav. If one offers a half an olive quantity of Ola, Korban Ola, an Ola sacrifice, the meat of the Ola sacrifice, and half an olive quantity of the innards of the Ola sacrifice. So you have two half olive worths of Ola material, and you offer them outside, Chayav. The reason for that is because the Ola is something that's completely burnt. And by offering the half an olive worth of meat and a half an olive worth of emurim, you're offering a complete quantity of that which is supposed to be burnt in the Beis HaMikdash. And in the case that you do it outside, you're offering up outside that which should have been brought within, and hence there is a chiyuv of haloas chutz. Before we continue in the Gemara itself, let's take a look at our topic heading in the outside margin under the heading No Say, in which we've written Al Ezed Vorim Yeshchiv Mishum Aloas Chutz, regarding what items is there a prohibition of offering up outside the Beis HaMikdash. So we have a Tanaic source. You can see that we have a rather long Tanaic source. The section that's framed off in our marking system, framed sections are of a Tanaic origin. So we have the source that begins by quoting a Pasuk from Vayikra Yud Zayin Pasuk Ches. In order to appreciate the quote, let us glance, before we read the Gemara inside, the sections of the Pasuk that will be relevant. You can see we've included in the inside margin under the heading Vayikra Yudzayin Pasuk Ches, where the Pasuk says, Ish Ish mi Beis Yisrael, Asher Yale Oila, Oila Oy Zavach, Ve'al Pesach Ol Moed, Pasuk Tes says, Ve'al Pesach Ol Moed Lo Yevienu, La'asoy Soy Soy Vashem. If a person offers up an Ola or another type of sacrifice and does not bring it to the Beis HaMikdash to do like Hashem commanded, then v'nichras ha'ish ahu me'amov, he will be guilty of kores, a kores penalty. The Gemara, Tano Rabbanan, Asher Ya'ale Oilo. This is a quote from Pasuk Ches. Ainli Ela Oila. You'll notice with our markings, we have a double underline featuring the expression Ainli Ela, which repeats itself later. After quoting a pasuk, the Brisa says, well, from this I would only know this particular point of information. And then we have triangles where we've highlighted the expressions Minayin Larabois, from where do I know, to include other items. So from reading this pasuk that says Asher Ya'ale Oila, I would think that the only time there's a violation of Haloas Chutz, of offering outside the Beis HaMikdash, that's with regard to a Korban Ola. That's what we mean here, Ein Li Ela Oila. The Braisa goes on, Minayin Larabois, Emurei Osham, from where do I know to include the innards of an Osham, the Emurei Chatos, the Emurei Kodshe Kodshim, the Emure Kodshim Kalim, the innards of a sin offering, the innards of Kodshe Kodshim of Kivse Atzeres, the lamb offerings that are brought on the holiday of Shavuos, and the emurim, the inners of other light level sacrifices. All of these, from where do I know that if one offers them on a on an altar outside of the Beis HaMikdash that he is guilty? Talmud Lomar Zevach. The same pasuk we saw before, pasuk Ches, also expresses, mentions Zevach, which is a more general term, including other sacrifices. Minayin l'rabo is from where do I know to include the following list, and we have a long list of items, hakoimetz, the handful taken from a meal offering, v'halavoyna, the spice, v'haktoras, the Torah is the incense that's offered in the Heichal, Uminchas Kohanim, a Kohen meal offering, Uminchas Kohen Moshiach, and the Kohen Godol's Korban Mincha, Vamenasech Shloshes Lugin Yayin, Ushloshes Lugin Mayim, or one who pours 3 lug of wine or 3 lug of water, all of these outside the Beis HaMikdash, Talmud Lomar, Vel Pesach Al Moed Lo Yevienu. That's in Pasuk Tes, and that means Kol Habo LePesach Olmoid Chayvim Lo Bechutz. Anything that ought to have been brought in the Beis HaMikdash, if one does it outside, he is guilty of this prohibition of offering outside. The Ainli Ella Kotchim Ksherim. As far as we have learned till now, we would think one would be guilty only if he offers up acceptable type sacrifices. However, he does it outside the Beis HaMikdash. Minayin l'rabos psulin. From where do I know to include sacrifices that have become unfit? Kegoin, halon. Now, there is a long list of items here. And first we'll read off the list to give a flavor of how long this list is and then go over the points. So how do we know to include halon v'hayotzi v'atomei v'shenishchat chutz l'zman v'chutz l'mkoymoi v'shekibu psulim v'zorku ezdomoi v'anitnin l'mata shenosnon l'mala v'anitnin l'mala shenosnon l'mata v'anitnin b'chutz shenosnon l'fim v'anitnin b'fim shenosnon b'chutz u'pesach v'chata sheshoftan shelo l'shmon minayin. From where do I know to include all of these items? In fact, all of these items, since the most recent triangle, are types of sacrifices that have become invalid. But how do I know to include them for a penalty of chutz? La'asos kol hamiskabel besach moed chayav lo chutz. Anything that had been received in the Beis HaMikdash in a kosher state, simply, but subsequently became pasul, that doesn't matter that they subsequently became invalid. Since they were received in the Beis HaMikdash initially as kosher, if one offers them up outside the Beis HaMikdash, there will be guilt. Now, let's go over this list. Minayin and the Rabos, we're going back to the most recent triangle. From where do I know to include Kotshim Psulim, Kigon Halon? That's a situation where there was the blood of the sacrifice that needed to be sprinkled, but it wasn't sprinkled on time. It was left over. It wasn't sprinkled. So being that the blood was not sprinkled, the korban becomes unfit. The hayotze, or a korban, a sacrifice that left the Beis HaMikdash before the Zrikas Hadam. The hatome, or it became impure. Or when the slaughtering of the animal took place, there was an incorrect mindset where there was an intent to process it after its the official time lapse or in a wrong place. Or if it's a type of korban that has to do with the eating, likewise, it was slaughtered with the intent of eating the meat in the wrong time or wrong place. Or shekiblu psulim v'zorkos damo, or unfit individuals did the kabbalah sadam, the receipt of the blood, and sprinkled the blood. V'hanitnin l'mata shenosn l'malo is a case of korbanos that are their blood is supposed to be sprinkled on the lower part of the mizbeach, and he incorrectly did it on the upper part, and vice versa, where v'hanitnin l'malo shenosn l'mata, or v'hanitnin b'chut shenosn b'fnim. These are sacrifices whose blood is supposed to be done in the Azorah, and he did the sprinkling in the Heichal, or v'hanitnin b'fnim shenosn b'chutz, or the other way around. Sacrifices whose blood is supposed to be sprinkled in the Heichal, and he did the sprinkling in the wrong place, outside, in the Azorah. Or Pesach v'chata sheshochtan shlo lishmon, or these sacrifices, Korban Pesach, or a sin offering that was slaughtered without the proper mindset. They were done without having them specifically in mind. All of these minayim, from where do I know that if you offer any of these outside the Beis HaMikdash, even though we've described sacrifices that have become posel, nevertheless there would be a prohibition of chutz, tamad lomar la'asois. Kol ha'miskabel b'pesach ha'moid, anything that had been received initially as an acceptable sacrifice, chayoven olav b'chutz, if one offers them outside the Beis HaMikdash, even though subsequent to their being brought to the Beis HaMikdash, they became invalid, nevertheless there would be a prohibition of chutz. Hamale kezayis min ha'olah, the Mishnah said that one who offers a kezayis of olo ume imura, meaning a chatzi zayis of meat and a chatzi zayis of innards of a korban ola, and he offers them outside the Beis HaMikdash, he will be guilty. Olo veimura in shlomim veimura in lo. The Gemara is medayik, infers that since the Mishnah used the example of an ola and only of an ola, it must be only in the case of the ola do we see that there is a combining of the half olive quantity of meat with half olive quantity of innards. This would not be the case if you had half olive quantity of shlomim meat with half olive quantity of emurin. They would not join up for if one were to offer them outside the Beis HaMikdash. And the reason for that is that in the case of the ola, it doesn't really matter whether it's meat or innards. Both of those substances are supposed to be burnt on the mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore if one does them outside, he's guilty. This is not the case with regard to a shlomim. The shlomim meat is to be eaten by the owner, not to be burnt on the mizbeach. So it's not in the running, it's not in the ballpark, so to speak, of haktoras chutz. Therefore, a chatzi zayis of shlomim meat would not join up with a chatzi zayis of innards. In the case of the shlomim, only the innards are offered up on the mizbeach, and therefore only the innards would be something if offered outside the Beis HaMikdash, because it's something that could have been brought inside the Beis HaMikdash, should have been brought in the Beis HaMikdash. If you do it outside, there is a chiyuv, which, as we just said, is not the case with regard to the meat. That's not something that should be brought on the altar in the first place in the Beis HaMikdash. Tanina laha de Tana Rabbanan. We have a brisa that will receive strength and support from that which we learned in the Mishnah. Oila v'imura mitstarfin l'kazayis. The ola, meat, and its inwards can join up to form a full quantity, a kazayis quantity. L'ha loisim v'chutz. One penalty would be if the two half zaysim of these materials are offered up outside. And these additional violations of pigul, which is meat or a sacrifice that was processed with an incorrect mindset. Nosar is a situation where it's left over and it's the time lapses on it. Or tame, ritual impurity. So bishlamo la'losan, as far as the issue of offering them outside the Beis HaMikdash, Oila de Kolil in Shlomim Lo. With regard to the case of the Ola, I understand only the Ola, which is Kolil, completely burnt, meat and innards, in, yes, they are Mitztaref, Shlomim Lo, but not in the case of Shlomim, because the Shlomim is not Kolil. Only the innards are burnt, not the meat. Therefore, innards and meat by a Shlomim cannot join up to form a Shiur, a quantity. But with regard to these other infringements, why do we say only an ola and not a shlomim? But we have a Tanaic source that says, kol ha-pigulin mitstarfin, v'chol ha-nosorin mitstarfin. When you're dealing with the prohibition of pigul and nosar, all of them, you'll find siruf in all sacrificial cases. Whether it's ola or a shlomim or any other sacrifice, a chatzi zayis of innards and a chatzi zayis of meat would be mitzarif, whether it be with regard to the din of pigul, the incorrect mindset, or the case of nosar, the leftover meat, the leftover sacrifice. Kashya pigul a pigul, kashya noisar a noisar. Having read this last source, we thereby see a contradiction between it and that which we saw in the source just before it, with regard to pigul and with regard to nosar. So the Gemara proceeds to answer that there really is no contradiction. Pigol apigol lo kashya, kan bepigol, kan bemachsheves pigol. Kan bepigol means with regard to the eating of it. If you have a sacrifice, let us say that you slaughtered, let's take a korban shlomim for example, that you slaughtered with the intent of eating it on the third day, which is beyond its acceptable time period. And then, after you slaughtered it with that incorrect time period, and you did the Zrikas Adam, you then proceeded to eat a chatzi zayas of meat and a chatzi zayas of innards of that korban shlomim. That's the case of the second source mentioned, that all of the pigulin are mitzdaref. However, kan b'machsheves pigul, let us say one slaughtered the shlomim with the intent of eating a chatzi zayas of its meat beyond the right time, and a chatzi zayas of the hemurim beyond its right time. In that case, there would be no siruf. There would be no joining up. We say there that a chatzi zayas of bosar and a chatzi zayas of hemurim are not going to form siruf. If we take a look at the Rashi, on the first line under the Gemara, kan bepigol, kan bemachsheves pigol, hadikotani mitzdarfin, that which we said there is joining up, be'ochel pigol komar, that's with regard to the eating of the pigol, well, this chayev chatos, and if one did it inadvertently, so then one would be guilty of a sin offering. The first source of these two most recent sources that suggested that only by sh'ola do you have tziruf, that's b'machsheves pigul. Shim shochad ozorak amanas lahakdir chatzi zayis boser oilo v'chatzi zayis memurim chutz lizmano pigel. If one, let us say, slaughtered or sprinkled the blood of an ola with the intent of eating a half zayis, with the intent of offering, of burning on the mizbeach, a half a zayis of meat and a half a zayis of innards, that would be mitzdarif. Avol, Rashi goes on, b'shlomim chishev le'echol lahakdir chatzi zayis boser v'chatzi zayis memurim lo pigel. However, with regard to a shlomim offering, if one slaughtered or sprinkled the blood with the intention of eating or being mocked there, a half a zayis of boser and a half a zayis of emurim, that would not create pigel. Lo pigel shein machsheves achila b'nektorin vein machsheves haktora b'necholin, because you don't have a full machsheva, namely a machsheva concerning a full quantity of either something to be burnt, because as far as the niktorin are concerned, when you deal with a shlomim, it's only the innards that are burnt. So you have a machshav of only a chatzi zayas of niktorin. That's not significant enough to create pigul. And likewise, you don't have a machshava. You don't have a machshava of a sufficient quantity of something to be eaten. So that if one thinks that he's going to if one has a machsheves pigul concerning a shlomim, concerning a chatzi zayas of meat and a chatzi zayas of emurim, they're not mitzaref to form a complete quantity, because as we said, you don't have a complete quantity of that which is eaten in your mind, and you don't have in mind a complete quantity of that which is niktar, is burnt. Hence, there's no tziruf. This is, of course, in opposition to a case where an entire korban became pigul with normal pigul, abnormal pigul mindset, and then you proceeded to eat a half a zayas of shlomim meat and a half a zayas of shlomim innards, that would be considered a complete quantity with regard to the violation of eating pigul. Continuing in the Gemara, noiser anoiser lo ikashya, kan benoiser. In the case where the source said there is tziruf, including shlomim as well, that's with regard to a case of, we'll say, straightforward nosar. For example, someone had a regular kosher korban shlomim and did not eat it within its time period, and just left it over to, let us say, the third day, which is beyond its time period, and then one went ahead and ate a chatzi zayas of nosor shlomim meat and a chatzi zayas of nosor emurim, he would be guilty of eating nosor, even in the case of the shlomim. So we see that there is tziruv of bosor and emurim with regard to shlomim in nosor. However, the source that suggested that there's tziruv only with regard to ola, that's a different case. That's what the Gemara says, b'shinis vasru ad shaloi nizrak hadam. Let's explain the situation. One had slaughtered a sacrifice, but before he did the blood sprinkling, all of the meat, almost all of the meat and innards got lost or destroyed. And you were left with a chatzi zayas of meat and a chatzi zayas of innards. That's all you were left with. And then you came to do the zrikas adam. Is that considered a legitimate zrikas adam? So in the case of a korban ola, yes. Because you're doing a zrikas adam for a complete quantity, a complete unit, namely an olive's worth of material that is to be burnt. And hence, that's considered a legitimate blood sprinkling. You're doing a blood sprinkling for a kazayas. However, the same scenario with regard to a korban shlomim, if you had a korban shlomim that you slaughtered, and before you got a chance to do the zrikas adam, most of it got lost, and you were left with a chatzi zayas of bosar, and a chatzi zayas of innards, in such a case we would say, don't do the zrikas adam. And if one did the zrikas adam anyway, it would have no meaning. The zrikas adam would be meaningless. And now the key point. When does something become nosar? It becomes nosar only if there had been previously a legitimate zrikas adam. So in the case of you had after the loss that took place after the shechita, you had a loss of almost all of the meat and innards, and you were left with a chatzi zayas of innards and a chatzi zayas of bosar by an ola. That's a legitimate zrikas adam. And therefore, if those innards, the chatzi zayas of innards and meat of the ola are left over and then eaten and then consumed by the individual, that's real noser. That became noser because there was an expectation to have done the zrikas adam. However, in the case of a shlomim, where there was only a chatzi zayas of bosar and chatzi zayas of emurim left over, where there was never any expectation to do the zrikas adam, it never becomes noser. The Gemara goes on to say, Umani, and this source is according to Rabbi Yeshua Hi. This fits in to that which Rabbi Yeshua teaches. Tisanya, we have a Tanaic source that begins here and goes till the upper part, the fifth line from the top of Omid Beis. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Kol Hazvochim Shibatura. All sacrifices that are mentioned in the Torah, except for an Ola, Shinishtayer bohen kezayas bosar ukezayas chaylev, that there is left over a, before the zrikas adam took place, they got lost and there was left only a kezayas bosar and a kezayas or a kezayas of chaylev, then so let's read that again. The top line says, oy kezayas chaylev zorek es adam. There is an expectation to do the zrikas adam. However, chatzi zayis bosar v'chatzi zayis chaylev, eino zorek es adam. If there is left over before the zrikas adam only a half zayis of chaylev and a half zayis of meat, don't bother doing the zrikas adam. Uba ola, with regard to a korban ola, on this last point, chatzi zayis bosar v'chatzi zayis chaylev, zorek es adam. If all that's left is a half olive quantity of meat and a half olive quantity of chalev, which is related to the issue of the innards, then you are expected to do the zrikas adam. And therefore, since you were expected to do the zrikas adam, it does become ola. Since that's considered a legitimate zrikas adam. The zrikas adam that you did on the chatzizayis bozo, chatzizayis chelev, if you did that and then left over the meat and chelev, if one were to eat that chatzizayis bozo, chatzizayis chelev, he would be guilty of eating of nosar, which is not the case in with regard to the earlier example of the shlomim, where we said the chatzizayis bozo, chatzizayis chelev, you don't do the zrikas adam, and therefore it never becomes nosar. Umincha afilu kulo kayemes lo yizrok. With regard to a meal offering, even if it's all intact, don't do the zrikas adam. Now this last point makes no sense as is. Mincha may avidita. What is the nature of zrikas adam with regard to a mincha? The mincha is a meal offering. There's no blood with a meal offering. Omar Rav Papa explains, Minchas Nesachim Habo Im Hazevach. This is an accompanied meal offering that comes together with an animal sacrifice. As you know, there are many examples of animal sacrifices. In addition to the basic animal sacrifice, there's also wine and meal offering brought along with it. That's the Minchas Nesachim. Let us say that you had such an arrangement, and the meat was slaughtered and got entirely lost. Nothing is left of the animal itself, but the meal offering that was brought along with it is intact. So the source says, even if all of the mincha is intact, there is still no zrikas adam, the dam that remained after the animal, the meat, got lost completely. We say that don't bother doing the zrikas adam. It's of no value. The Mishnah, HaKoimetz, the handful of a meal offering, VaLavona. The Lavona is the spice that accompanies a mincha. VaHakteres, the incense that's offered every day. UMinchas Kohanim, UMinchas Kohen Moshiach, the meal offerings of Kohanim, or the Kohen Gadol meal offering. UMinchas Nesachim, the Minchas Nesachim is the mincha that accompanies an animal offering. Shehikriv me'achas mem kezayas b'chutz chayav. If of any of these items an olive quantity of the above mentioned examples would be offered outside the Beis HaMikdash, a kezayas of any of these things, there would be an infringement of the prohibition of offering outside. Rav Elazar poter ad sheyakriv es kulon. Rav Elazar says that on these things that were mentioned above, there is no violation of the hakrovas chutz of offering outside unless the entire unit is offered and not a mere olive quantity of the above mentioned things. V'kulon shikrivon b'fnim v'shir mem kezayis v'krivoy b'chutz chayav. All of the above mentioned things that you offered, almost all of them inside properly, left a kezayis over, and then offered that final kezayis outside, there would be an infringement, a violation. V'kulon shechosru kol shehu v'krivoy b'chutz. Any of the above mentioned things that became diminished before it was anything was offered, and then after this diminishing took place, you then proceeded to offer it outside the Beis HaMikdash. Potter, there is exemption. Hamakriv kodshim veimurim b'chutz chayov. If one took the meat of a korban and its innards are attached to the meat and you offered them outside the Beis HaMikdash, there would be a violation because of the innards that are attached in this case. The innards being offered, the innards should have been offered inside the Beis HaMikdash, but you offer them outside the Beis HaMikdash, even though they were attached to the meat of the korban. It nevertheless incurs a guilt of halo'as chutz. Tonu Rabbonon. Hamaktir kezayis b'chutz chayav. Chatzi pras b'fnim poter. The source says that one who offers a kezayis quantity outside the Beis HaMikdash, so he's guilty. Let us say he offers up a kezayis quantity of keteris outside, he's guilty. Chatzi pras b'fnim. The expression chatzi pras means less than the full quantity. If one offers less than the full quantity of whatever was mentioned above, and he does it b'fnim in the Beis HaMikdash, potter. Now, the term poter usually is used in contrast with the word chayav. Poter meaning innocence, and chayav meaning guilt. So, kol salka daitach, the thought right now is that my poter, poter zar, that the word poter means exemption for a non-kohen who would offer this. So, the Gemara asks, am I? Why should a non-kohen be exempt if he offers less than the full quantity in the Beis HaMikdash? Ha aktorehi. But nevertheless, there is a quantity, the kezias quantity, the olive amount, was in fact offered by a non-kohen. And a non-kohen who does avod in the Beis HaMikdash is chayav misa. He's guilty of death at the hands of heaven. Chayav misa b'dei shamayim. So why does the source suggest that if a czar were to offer anything less than the complete quantity in the Beis HaMikdash, should he be exempt? After all, as we mentioned, even if you're offering something less than the complete quantity, nevertheless there is a kezias worth that he's offering, should that not carry with it guilt? Omar Rabbi Zera, Rav Chisda, Rav Yirmiyahu, Barab, Omar Rav, my potter, what is meant by the word potter? Potter tzibor, it means that the community, that the tzibor, the nation, fulfills their chov, their requirement, by a mere olive quantity being offered. Namely, they've potter, in this case doesn't mean innocent, but it means they have fulfilled their basic requirement. So that by the offering of a kezias amount, a kezias worth of keturas, for example, the tzibor will have fulfilled their requirement. Omar Rabbi Zera, in kashya li, ha kashya li. Rabbi Zera says, regarding this topic, if anything is a problem, the following presents a problem to me. Ha di Omar Rav Allah. Rav said concerning the seifa, that the tzibor is yotze with the offering of a kezias quantity. Rav said, Beha afilu Rabbi Elazar moide. Regarding this, even Rabbi Elazar will concede that the tzibor is yotze, the tzibor fulfills their requirements with a kezias. Now my problem is, deha Rabbi Eliezer lav haktorehi ka'amar. Rabbi Elazar said that's not considered an official haktor, official offering. And how do we know that? Because Rabbi Elazar exempts one who would offer a kezias of that outside the Beis HaMikdash. So since they're a kezias of, let us say, a kezias of keturas outside the Beis HaMikdash, if one were to offer that up, he's not guilty of halah. So we see that's not considered a haktar, it's not considered an offering. So how could it be that if that same amount is done in the Beis HaMikdash, that the tzibur would fulfill their requirement? Rabbi Zera's question, hence, has been raised. How do we get out of this? So before we go on in the Gemara, let's take a look at the outside margin. We have a Nosei Mivneh heading. You'll notice that there's a diamond featured. The diamond corresponds to the diamonds that you see in the Gemara itself. As you'll notice in the Gemara itself, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you'll see diamonds that appear with numbers in them. 1, 2, and at the bottom line, 3. There is, in fact, a 4 that accompanies this discussion, but the 4 is treated a little differently because the 4 will be Rav Ashi's comment on the top of Kuf Yud Amud Aleph. Rav Ashi simply strengthens Abaye, who was in number 2. So we chose to mark off Rav Ashi with a dashed diamond so as to tie him into the sugya, but he doesn't represent a new answer, but rather he comes to strengthen Abaye's answer. We have in our note in the outside margin the following. Chuvois Lekushias Rabbi Zera. These diamonds represent answers or responses to the question Rabbi Zera raised. Shehiksha Lior Divrei Rav. In light of that which Rav said, Shomar Derbozer Yoide the Haktoras Keturas Pochos Mikashir Potorat Zibur, the Yotsu Yedei Chavasan, where Rav claims that Rabbi Elazar concedes that with the offering of less than the complete shiur, the complete quantity, the tzibor, the community, fulfills their obligation. when at the same time Rabbi Elazar says that the offering up of anything less than the complete quantity outside the Beis HaMikdash is not guilty to lav shmei HaTorah. There, it's not considered a haktorah. So we have to say in simple terms, within the spectrum of Rav's understanding, Rabbi Elazar has to make up his mind. Is a haktorah of pachos mikashir considered a haktorah or not? Let us attempt to resolve this. Omar Rabba, continuing now in the Gemara, Rabba with the diamond, number one. Ba'aktora dehechal dekule alma loy pligi. With regard to the daily haktora, everyone will agree that with an olive quantity, if one does it outside the Beis HaMikdash, one would be guilty. And within the Beis HaMikdash, the tzibor will be yotze their chova, their obligation, with the kezias. Ki pligi, where does there arouse a controversy? Ba'aktora defnim, with regard to the Yom Kippur ketores offering that's done in the inner sanctum, the fnei ulfim in the kodesh hakodashim. That's the Yom Kippur ketores. Damor sovar, Rebbe Elazar holds, loy chafonov davka. The Torah in Parshas Achrimos, which deals with the Meleches or Avodas Yom Kippur, speaks about two hands full of incense, of keturis. The term used by the Torah is Melo Chafonov, the full Chafonov, hands full. Umar Sovar, Melo Chafonov Lav Davka. We should explain once again. Rabbi Elazar said Melo Chafonov Davka means when the Torah says two hands full of sense, it means literally full hands full, a complete hands full of incense. Therefore, anything less than the complete shear of the Yom Kippur incense would not be considered a haktorah. The Tanakhama, on the other hand, will say Melo Chafonov Lav Davka. Even with regard to Yom Kippur, the entire shiur is not binding. The main thing is to have a kezias quantity. Omale Abaye, v'hokik siva chuka. Abaye says that the term chuka appears, and the term chuka is a Torah word, which means, for our purposes, it means that what the Torah says in that context is binding, nothing less. So Abaye says that the word chukah appears b'haktorah defnim hu dichtiv. It appears in the context of Yom Kippur itself. Therefore, it's not likely, it's impossible that there would be an opinion that would say regarding the Yom Kippur ketores offering lav davka, that it's not literal. When after the word chukah appears, it has to be understood as literally malo chafonav without any and not anything less. Elo Omar Abaye, b'haktorah defnim kule alma lo pligi. With regard to the Yom Kippur offering, everyone will agree, even the Chachamim will agree with Rabbi Eliezer, that you need the full amount, and anything less would not be considered a true or legitimate haktorah. Ki pligi, b'haktorah dechutz. This is a case where a person were to take a kezias quantity of Yom Kippur, of Chafinas Yom Kippur, and offer the Yom Kippur incense, a kezias worth of Yom Kippur incense, at a boma, at a personal altar outside the Beis HaMikdash. So that where you see a machloikis between Rebbe Elazar and the Chachamim, it's regarding this case of haktoras chutz, which means taking the incense, the Yom Kippur incense, and offering it outside the Beis HaMikdash. Mor sovar yalfinon pinim ichutz, the Chachamim hold that we learn the dinim of pinim michutz, namely, just like outside the Beis HaMikdash, a kezias is considered a haktorah, so too, bifnim, a kezias is considered haktorah. Umar sovar lo yafinon. We don't learn pnim michutz. Before we go further, we're going to take a look at the Rashi in the wide lines. Hachi garsinon elo omar abaye baktor defnim kuli amalo pligi ki pligi baktor dechutz. Abaye nami karabo metaritz law. Abaye follows in the spirit of Rabba before the Braisa, the Moedibur Rabbi Elazar, the Braisa in which Rabbi Elazar concedes. And we saw the Rav mentioned that point, that in the Seifa the Rabbi Elazar would concede the Haktorah the Hechal. That's regarding the Haktorah in the Hechal. The Hechal meaning the daily Haktorah of the Ktoras in the on the golden altar that was located in the Hechal of the Beis HaMikdash. Umas Nisin, the Mishnah in which we saw a controversy between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachomim, Baktara Difnim, that concerns the Yom Kippur offering. Umiyu lo kitaima de Rabba, but Abaye departs from Rabba's explanation. The Omar le Rabbonon Maloch Hafonov lav dafka. Rabba had said that Maloch Hafonov is not binding the Kulei Amach Hafonov dafka. Abaye claims that the Maloch Hafonov is binding. Ubifnim the Kulei Amalo pligi the Shleim Obelinan. And with regard to the Yom Kippur incense offering in the Beis Hamikdash under proper circumstances, everyone agrees you need the full quantity. Ki pligi kagon shehikter kezayis menaktor shachfinas pnim bachutz. The machlokus arises where you took a kezayis, an olive quantity of Yom Kippur ktores, and offered it outside the Beis Hamikdash. Morso var yalfinon pnim michutz. What does that mean? Yalfinon ktores shel pnim miktores shel hechal. That I learn halochus regarding the Yom Kippur ktores from the hechal daily Ktoras offering. Ma haktora shel hechal beboma bachutz bekezayas. Just like if one were to take an olive quantity of daily Ktoras offering and offer it at a boma, he would be guilty for an olive quantity. So af haktora shel pnim chayavim ola beboma bekezayas. So too, with regard to taking the Yom Kippur Ktoras offering and offering it at a boma, there would be guilt for offering a kezayas, an olive quantity, at the boma. Even though in its right place, namely in the Beis HaMikdash itself, the offering of a mere olive quantity of a Yom Kippur incense offering, lo havya haktora, hoil behechal havya haktora. Even though in its own place it's not considered haktora, nevertheless, since the incense with regard to the Hechal daily offering, a kezayis is considered haktorah, this point is transferred to the Yom Kippur ktoras offering done outside the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi continues, Rebbe Elazar sovar lo'yofinam p'nim michutz. Haktorah de Hechal, hu de mechayev alo v'chutz v'kezayis. Rebbe Elazar will say that only with regard to the daily incense offering, if offered at a boma outside the Beis HaMikdash, would there be guilt. Just like, because since in its right place, on the golden offer on a daily basis, a kezayis is considered significant. Avol, haktoras pnim lo mechayev alo b'chutz b'kezayis. However, taking Yom Kippur incense and offering at an external boma, an olive quantity would not result in guilt. Why? Since in its official place, in its correct place, namely during the Yom Kippur service in the Beis HaMikdash, a kezayis would not have any significance. So as we go on in the Gemara, Rava raises a question. The question is going to focus on the explanation we just gave for the Chachamim. The Chachamim, who were machmir and said that that one would incur guilt for a kezayis of Yom Kippur incense offered on an external boma, and they came to that conclusion because of this idea of learning pnim michutz. Pnim is a reference to the Yom Kippur service from chutz, from that which is done in the heichal on a daily basis. The Gemara now asks, or Rava asks, Omar Rava hashta chutz michutz lo yalfi rabbanon penim michutz mibaya. Mind you, when you're dealing with two chutz examples, one does not learn the dinim of chutz from the other dinim of chutz. Could it possibly be that they would learn penim michutz? That's Rava's question. We see a bracketed section, and if we skip that momentarily, we come to answer number 3. Elo Omar Rava. Rava comes up with his hesber of the machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, and that's, you can see at the bottom line where the diamond number 3 appears. But in the meantime, we have this bracketed section that deals with the background for what Rava just said, that chutz michutz lo yafinon. Where do we see that? The Gemara goes on in the brackets, Mahi. What do you mean by chutz michutz lo yafinon? The Sanya. We have the following source. Yochol hamale pochus mikizayas koimetz, upochus mikizayas emurin, vahamenasich pochus mishloishes lugin yayin, pochus mishloishes lugin mayim yechayov. Could it be that for an offering bachutz of any of these items just mentioned, pochus mikizayas of a handful of a meal offering, or pochus mikizayas of less than an olive quantity of innards, or the pouring out of less than 3 lug, which is a liquid measure, 3 lug of wine, or less than 3 lug of water anywhere outside the Beis HaMikdash, would that be chayav? Tamud lomar la'asois. Ala sholem chayav, enu chayav, ala chaser. From the pasuk, we see that from the expression lasos, we learn that guilt of chutz arises only with a complete quantity and not less. Veha pochos mishloshes lugin de isbehu kamos esim. Here we have an example of less than 3 lug. We saw, and that's what was dashed underlined in the source. Less than 3 lug. Let's say I have 2.9 lug. Within 2.9 lug. You have many olive quantities, and yet the lo yalfi rabbanon chutz michutz, and yet the rabbanon do not learn one example of chutz from another example of chutz. Namely, we find that a kezias of, let us say, of innards that's offered outside the Beis HaMikdash is chayav, and yet Pochus Mishosh Lugin, which has many kezesim in it, is not chayav. So we see that the Rabbanon don't learn one example of chutz from another example of chutz. How could there possibly be a daya that says that one learns pnim michutz, that one learns the dinim of Yom Kippur incense, which is something done in the pnim, in the Kodesh HaKodashim, from something done b'chutz? Elo Oma Rova. Kegoin de Kavinhu Bimona. If we glance at Rashi, Rashi sets us up for gives us a little bit of background for Rova's Hesber. Second line from the bottom, Rashi says, Elo Oma Rova, Kegoin de Kavinhu Bimona. He put the keteres of the Hechal in a vessel, in a klishores. Rashi says the oilo masnisinu braiso baktora de heichal havio haktora biduchto bekezayis. Whether you're looking at the Mishnah or the braiso, the haktora of the heichal, the daily incense offering, would be considered an offering even if you had just a kezayis quantity. Umishimachi kotoni lo bebraiso chayov. Verbalezer moide bo kederav. And therefore, if one did a kezias of daily keteres offering outside the Beis HaMikdash, everyone would agree, including Rabbi Eliezer, that there would be chayav, that the one would be chayav. Uplukta de masnisen, the machlokis in the Mishnah, kagon, the Kave Shnei Chatzoi Pras Bemona, where he took the Chatzoi, the two Chatzoi Pras are the is the quantity of the daily incense offering. He took the full quantity of the daily incense offering and put it in a mona, in a kli. Rashi continues at the top. The kosovar Reb Elazar kviusa demona milsahi, the placing in a service vessel is considered of significance. Vayvenosan shnei chatzoi pras bekli hakturis hechal kave mona. Since he put the entire quantity in a service vessel, that establishes it as an entire single unit, in an indivisible unit, if you will. The chosir kolshu mifsal, and if any minor amount of that becomes missing, becomes lost, it ruins the keturis. It ruins this incense offering. Hilkoch b'chutz lo mechayvat yakriv es kulo. Therefore, if one had put the daily incense offering into a kli, and any small amount of it got lost, according to Reb Elazar, it becomes posel, it becomes invalid, and therefore, offering it outside the Beis HaMikdash would not be chayav. As we've said already a few times, the din of chutz depends on its acceptability in the Beis HaMikdash. For Rabbanan and Savri, Rashi continues to say, the fact that you poured it into the daily incense offering into a service vessel, that is not of a binding nature. Therefore, this results in a stringency as well, that if, even though it was put into the service vessel, if a kezias quantity was offered outside the Beis HaMikdash after the kviyas mana, there would be guilt associated with it. So that's what the Gemara says on the top of Kuf Yud, Mor Sovar kviyas mana milsi, that is Rebbe Eliezer, that the establishing of the, or the pouring of the daily incense into a kli is establishes it as an indivisible unit, and therefore a kezias of that done outside the Beis HaMikdash after it was put into the kli would not result in an infringement. And Umor Sovar Lav Milsi, the Rabbanan on the other hand hold that even though it was placed in a service vessel, that does not cause it to be considered as an indivisible unit, and therefore even a kezias amount of that after the kviyus mona, but offered outside the Beis HaMikdash according to the Chachamim, would constitute an infringement. We have a bracketed section. Right after the brackets, Rav Ashi appears. Rav Ashi comes to reinstate Abaye's answer. Within the bracketed section, the Gemara has a little bit of a takeoff on this halacha of the Chachamim that kviyus demona lav klum hi. So before we go further in the Gemara, let's just point out that structurally it's important to see what is going to happen after the brackets. And as we'll just go over that point again, Rav Ashi appears, and Rav Ashi comes to reinstate Abaye's answer. In other words, he will come to deflect the question that Rava had raised against Abaye. But in the meantime, we look at the bracketed sections on the second line from the top. Omar Rava, Hashto de Amrinon, Laman de Omakviusa de Mona Valav Klum Hu. Now that we've introduced an opinion that holds the kvius in a kli is of no significance, the placing of the offering in a vessel is not of a binding nature. Therefore, two examples: kova shisha lepar umoshach mehen arbo v'krivon b'chutz chayov. If let us say a person took six lug, which is known as a chatzi hahin of the nisachim for a cow offering. A cow offering requires the bringing of six lug of wine. He withdrew from the six lug of wine that were placed in a service vessel, four lug, and took the four log and offered them outside the Beis HaMikdash, he would be chayav. Why? Because four lug is roi l'ayil. For an ayil offering, a ram offering, the proper quantity is four lug of wine. Therefore, he is offering outside the Beis HaMikdash a quantity that would have been brought in the Beis HaMikdash. The point being that even though the wine is coming from six lug that had been poured into a service vessel, that nevertheless does not create an indivisible unit of six lug, and therefore the withdrawing of four of the six lug offered outside the Beis HaMikdash would be an infringement of chutz. And another example, kovar bol ayil, someone established in a service vessel, poured into a service vessel four lug of wine in anticipation of it being used along with an ayil, a ram offering, and withdrew from the four, he withdrew three quarters of it, three lugim out of the four, and offered them outside the Beis HaMikdash. Why is he guilty? Shiruyin lekeves, because three lug is an amount that would have been fit for a sheep offering in the Beis HaMikdash. Chosru kol shehu v'krivon b'chutz poter. If, however, anything less than the three was offered outside, there would be exemption, because less than three lug is not fit to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash. As we mentioned, Rav Ashi comes to reinstate Abaye. So we have to go back and take a look at Abaye. What did he say beforehand? Abaye said that with regard to the Haktara Bifnim, everyone agrees that you have to have a complete quantity. The issue, the controversy between Rebbe Lozer and the Chachamim arose in a case of the Yom Kippur incense that was that one offered a kezias worth of Yom Kippur incense at a boma. And Abaye explained that according to the Chachamim, we learn Pnim Michutz, which meant that we learn the dinim of the Yom Kippur incense offering, which is offered in the inner sanctum, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, from the way we treat the daily incense offering done at a boma. Just like at a boma, the daily incense offering, if one were to offer a kezias quantity, he would be guilty of halos chutz. So too, with regard to a kezias worth of Yom Kippur offering, incense offering done at a boma, there would be guilt. To this, the Rava raised an objection. How can you learn Pnim Michutz when even Chutz Michutz we don't learn? Where even two like topics, we don't learn one from the other. And the example that Rava gave, he quoted the Gemara itself brought the background for that, was the case of we don't learn Pochos Mishloishis Lugin Yayin. That quantity of pochs mishloshes lugin yayin, which we dashed underlined, as you can see on the bottom of Kuf Tes, six lines from the bottom, that amount, pochs mishloshes lugin yayin, less than three lug of a wine offering, has in it numerous kizesim, and we say we don't learn that as being, we don't determine or conclude that that is guilty from the fact that, let us say, a kizayas of a standard of meat or of innards that are offered outside would be guilty. So we don't learn chutz michutz. To this, Rav Ashi says that the attempt to compare the wine to a solid sacrificial offering is to compare that or contrast that with the to compare that case to the case of two types of incense offering is far-fetched. Let's see this in the Gemara. Rav Ashi Omar, Nisuch mehaktora lo yalfi rabonon afagav dechutz michutz. To learn the dinim of a wine offering from the dinim of some solid type sacrificial substance that's burnt, whereby we said that several kizesim of wine offering done outside the Beis is not guilty, even though a kizayas, an olive quantity of of innards or of a meal offering, let us say, done outside the Beis HaMikdash would be guilty. That's because we don't learn the liquids from the solid. Even though afagav dechutz mechutz, even though they're both examples of chutz. However, haktara mehaktara yalfi, but I will learn Yom Kippur, the Yom Kippur incense offering, which is from the innermost sanctum, may haktara from the daily offering, which is relatively speaking outside, relative to the Yom Kippur offering, it's considered chutz. Afagav dipnim michutz, even though this is a case where I'm learning Pnim, the Yom Kippur, from the chutz, from the daily incense offering. Once again, there the parallel, according to Rav Ashi, is in fact closer. And therefore I'm able to learn the topic of one type of Ktoras from another type of Ktoras. When at the same time I will not learn halachas regarding a liquid wine offering from the offering of a solid type sacrificial matter, even though they are in the same region. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.